And we're back, another edition, Stripe Show podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. And this is a special one here. I've been looking forward to getting this man here on the screen next to me for quite some time because he's the coach of, well, if you follow me, you know I am the president of the Corey Connors fan club. As I've been beating the drum, Corey Connors is coming, people. The putter's gonna catch up to the ball striking, and this young man is gonna go, and we're starting to see it. And his coach, longtime coach, 10 years, joining me here all the way up in Winnipeg, Canada, Derek Ingram. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too, Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Well, your man's rolling. I mean, he is playing some great golf. I love watching him play. He's just a brilliant ball striker. You know, he's got all the statistics to back it up. But I think this run of golf that we're seeing right now from the 29-year-old Corey Connors is impressive. I'll read it off here. Third, Arnold Palmer. Seventh at the Players. 14th at the Valero. Eighth at Augusta, which I can see you got your master sweatshirt on. And then fourth at the RBC Heritage. This is pretty strong stuff. Are you you pretty happy with your man here as he rolls here in the month of May?
Yeah, no, he's been playing great. And actually, Travis, he's been playing great since about September last year, if we dig even deeper. But, you know, just tons of top tens, lots of great finishes, and feeling more and more comfortable being one of the best players out there.
That's a big part of it, isn't it? Like just being comfortable mentally that I belong here, number one, right? And then number two, for Corey, I'm one of the best players out here. Like, I belong here. That's a big part of the psyche, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure it is. And I think, you know, for Corey, knowing Corey, it's taken a little bit of time for that. You know, he was a really good junior player. And, you know, all of a sudden he won the World Junior in Japan as a junior player. Then as a college player and an amateur player, he was a pretty good college player, pretty good amateur player. And then basically became one of the top amateur players in the world for almost 2 years. He'd play anywhere around the world and for 2 years straight in the best amateur events around the world and either win or top 10 or top 20. If he didn't have his good stuff, it'd be a top 15. If he had his good stuff, it'd be a top five. But if he putted well or played well, he'd win. And so now we're kind of seeing that progression on the PGA Tour where he's getting more comfortable out there. You know, he knew when he got out there he was a pretty good player, but now he's starting, you know, really believe that, hey, I like my chances out here.
Yeah, I thought the Valero kind of stands out to me. You know, he was defending.
Yeah.
And it kind of got off to a little bit of a sluggish start, but I thought he showed a lot of maturity, just kind of hung in there, didn't have his A game. I'm sure he was kind of pulled in a lot of different directions, which he wasn't used to. And then he just kind of, you know, worked his way back in a 14th, even though like eighth at the Masters, seventh at the Players. I just thought, you know, this guy, we know he can go, and we're going to talk about the improvement he's made in his putting, but I just thought he showed a lot of just maturity there that week, and maybe a tournament that could have got away from him. He just kind of hung in there and, you know, another top 15 finish. Let me tee up on his ball striking because I talk about it a lot, and that this guy is the most underrated ball striker on the PGA Tour. I've been saying that for a while. Now, the statistics will prove that. Strokes gained off the tees, ninth. Strokes gain approach, he's 10th. Has he always been like this, just like a ball striking machine from tee to green?
Yeah, I'd love to take a lot more credit for that, Travis, but he's always been a guy who has had an ability to hit the middle of the club face just consistently over and over and over again. And, you know, I remember joking with him when he was a, you know, really good amateur player. We'd be on the track, man. I'm like, oh, did you kind of get that one a little bit on the heel? He's like, oh, no, that's right in the middle. And then I'd confirm with the track, man, as a 1.51 or 1.50. And, you know, yeah, I like to think I've got a good ear for that stuff. I mean, you and I, we stand in the range all day long for, you know, 25 years. So I kind of feel like I can tell when a person, you know, and see when a person gets it a teeny bit on the bottom or a little bit in the heel or a little bit on the toe. But with him, you know, he would always trick me with that. So he's had that ability to, you know, get the golf ball in the middle of the club face for a long time. And, you know, he's just polished it over time. And he's always been a person also who's hit a ton of greens and regulations. Like he has just worn that greens and regulation stat out over the years. And it's something I really love because I feel like greens and regulation correlates to great finishes and money made.
Yeah, he does. Every time they go to him, it's like he's got 17 feet for birdie. I mean, it's like clockwork, really. yeah. You know, you look at his swing and it's, you know, like in social media, and I know you're on social media some, and like, it's really easy to get caught up in the aesthetics, right? Like this modern, perfect swing shape, face square, change of knee flex, big turn, shallow it, rotate, you know, all these things that, that we hear. I love seeing the swings like Corey that have so many good things, but then have their own little idiosyncrasies too, you know, and that it hasn't been, I think, overcoached, right? Perhaps. And like, you look at Corey, kind of gets the club head, you know, maybe just kind of subtly inside early. And then it's not this huge turn in the hips. It's more just kind of upper and, you know, sets it. And then he just kind of rotates and off he goes. Right. And so I look at that. And the first thing that comes to my mind is like, Corey hasn't been overcoached, you know, like he hasn't been overcoached. Take us through this journey with him where he's always been a great ball striker and you're trying to maybe layer in, you know, some things to improve technically, especially when he's struggling, but at the same time, just protect perhaps the genius that Corey has always been.
Yeah. And by the way, that's a huge turn for him, but it's not a huge turn for everybody. So, you know, by turning more, he's improved his ball striking. He's got a little deeper and at the top, and it's made him easier. It made it easier for him to even be a better ball striker. But, you know, with me, I guess one of the hallmarks of myself and our national team program, but, you know, and really my belief is that if somebody, first we have to test people and challenge people at a high level to see if they can do it. Both under pressure and not under pressure. And if they can reproduce at a super high level, then why try and make it prettier and sacrifice the ability to hit it as good or score as good? And so I try not to make people look better. I try to make them score better. That's kind of my goal as a coach.
So the turn has gotten bigger for him. Like that's something that you work on with him.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've done lots of, you know, when he gets a bigger turn, there's a little less hands and arms, and I love the fact that he's got great hands and arms. And again, has that ability to put the club on the middle of the golf ball almost every single time. But we want to make it a little bit easier, and we have. So that's, you know, one of the things we've worked on over the, you know, billion things, but we haven't gone after, oh, here's our model here. We want to look like this person because,
right.
You know, and if you look at some of the players I coach, a Taylor Pendrith or a Coach McKenzie Hughes for many years, I mean, you know, Corey almost exclusively hits a draw. Mac almost exclusively hits a cut. Taylor's got a super vertical lead arm at the top of his swing and then shallows a lot. I mean, people would love that. But, you know, to me, it's all about testing him and challenging him and saying, okay, what's your ball striking like? Can it hold up under the highest amount of pressure? And so for me, it's never really been about making it the prettiest. It's making it the most efficient.
So Corey likes to hit that little draw pretty much with every club, right? I mean, it's even like a wedge. It doesn't turn much, but it kind of has that same look to it.
Yeah. No, there's no fades out there, Travis. I mean, if there's cuts or fades, I'm getting I jokingly say that, you know, if he gets one cut, that it's okay. But if there's two fades or cuts, that I'm getting a text message almost immediately. And so it's not true, but he does love to see the ball drop to the left. And, you know, at times it's been a big swinger to the left, and other times it's literally just you're standing behind him going, I know it's drawing because the spin axis and the track band or the foresight tells me it is, but you know, it's super straight.
What's his miss? Like what happens when is there something that he kind of tends to fall into and you're like, hey, we're kind of doing this again. Let's get out of that. Is there anything there?
Well, he can tend to bounce back a little bit too much and maybe get some on the heel and push it to the right, you know, when he's off. But again, the ability to having great hands and great athleticism allows him to hit in the middle of the club face even when he's off. And so they're pretty straight. But, you know, when they're not drawing or not turning a little bit, that's when he's a little bit off.
The bounce back, meaning his spine kind of falls to the right.
Yeah,
that's a common thing that you hear a lot of coaches talk about with professionals. They'll kind of back it up, catch it on the heel.
If Corey gets the pressure back to his trail side, then it's almost a guarantee he's going to hit it great. And so and sometimes he tends to hang on the lead leg a teeny bit, and then maybe he might bounce back a little bit. And then we can get some overhooks or some blocks to the right. But the other thing is, again, I'd love to take credit for this stuff and tell you how brilliant I am, Travis, but this guy's got an unbelievable awareness of how his body moves and his game and contact. And that's something that's developed over time, like thousands upon thousands of hours of practicing, and he really has that awareness, and he can really correct super quick.
Yeah, it's almost like I think in the last maybe be handful of years, it's like it's okay to have like it's good to have good hands, right? And players that have good hands in the golf swing, that shouldn't always be viewed. It shouldn't be viewed as a bad thing. You know, like I look at Stuart Sink and I just did this breakdown and I got some feedback from it. And they're like, well, that's not the way that it should be swung because it should be more, you know, flex coming down and turning. And yeah, okay. I would prefer that. And I'm certainly encouraging that to the masses of players.
Yeah.
But I mean, Stuart Sink in that era and Phil Mickelson and Leishman and these guys, you know, that bring this kind of cup lead wrist down and then they kind of raise the handle and they have good hands, man, like you're going to coach that out of a player. That's a pretty strong statement, you know, to take that out and say flex and turn and get the hands out of it. So there's certainly different ways to do it, but you got to be very careful with a player of the skill set, like a Corey, like a Stuart Sink, who have their DNA and such great spatial awareness and feel, because you can coach that genius right out of them, which we know has happened many, many times. So it's always an interesting conversation. Let me ask you this about the distance that we see now on tour. Corey's 295 off of the tee. Was there ever a conversation when Bryson started going about it this way? We saw Rory be very transparent about how it affected him. Did Corey ever come up to you and say, hey, coach, we need 10 more?
Well, honestly, you know, Corey's probably... he's coached me as much as I have because I use a multitude of stats guys from Peter Sanders at Shot by Shot and Lou at Stagner and, you know, Decade. And we, you know, and Mark Brody, like I use all these guys or try and steal information from all of them. And obviously we're aware of, hey, we'd like to be a little longer. Who wouldn't be? And, you know, in the off season, Corey can hit it further. There's no question about it. He's got another, you know, he's got 180 ball speed, 182, 183 ball speed in the bag. But, you know, we also want to find our golf ball. We like it in the short stuff. And when you're one of the best iron players in the world, it's also a lot of fun to have it in the short stuff because it's really an advantage. And so, and I said to him, oh yeah, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. But we've had great discussions. And I think that's one thing that really is important between a coach and a student is that relationship. And you would be able to relate to this. When you've got a deep, you know, trusting relationship with somebody, you can throw anything out there and he can say, hey, listen, I don't like that or I love that. And I can say, hey, I don't like us going this way. Or I want us going this way. And we can have a discussion about it and come up with the right plan for the athlete. And so, you know we can hit it further. We know we're not going to be a long drive guy. We're certainly not going to be Bryson. We're a control player, but we're longer than average. And so, if he wants to hit it hard, you'll see him get up into the 18, you know, close to 180 ball speed or even a tad more. But again, we're looking for balls in the middle of the fairway too.
Yeah. Is that where that turn gets even deeper yet into the right heel when he cranks it up?
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a little bit deeper there. He'll get the left heel off the ground, so it'll be a bigger turn. You know, the arms might run even a little more wild. But with him, he'll still hit it in the middle of the club face, which is nice.
Yeah.
But again, I think you have to be you. You have to be a great version of you. And, you know, if we're trying to teach, Brian Gay to be Bryson DeChambeau, he's probably not going to have those four or five or six PGA Tour wins he's gotten. You know, Webb Simpson seems to be playing not too badly. And so there's different ways to get this done. And I think you have to identify, hey, these are my strengths. This is my trump card. And I'm going to really run with this. And I'm going to be awesome at this. And when I'm on, I can be the best player, this week and maybe even in the world.
Yeah, I like the idea of being great at something, you know, and if you can be great at something, then man, like that's a really good foundation to have. And then just start layering in things around it to support it. And Corey's a great ball striker and he's already longer than average. So yeah, you start weighing that out. We can't move away from being great, you know, in this arena. And the other thing that he's starting to become great at is putting. I mean, he's really Derek. And nothing has made me happier than to see in this little stretch of golf here. Let me rattle off a few stats here for you. Okay.
Cool.
So I mentioned the last five tournaments. So strokes gained putting at Arnold Palmer, he was positive 3.8. Players positive 3.5. Valero positive 2.3. Masters, I don't have. But I would bet it's got to be positive.
For sure it was.
Yeah. RBC positive 2. And that's a run of five here now of great putting, strokes gained putting. Now he's up to 63rd. I don't know. I'm just my perception when I look at him, he just looks much more comfortable now. And with the flat stick, he looks like he's trying to make putts now. That's just my observation, uneducated guess, looking at it versus in the past. What's changed here? I mean, what's happened here, Derek, with this surgence of now what looks like incredible putting?
How long do we have here?
Okay. We got all the time in the world. People will listen. Trust me.
probably the biggest change, Travis, was we changed from a regular, you know, a putting grip where, he had the finger down, like covering three fingers like that. We went to the left hand lower cross-handed after the PGA at Harding Park last year. Okay. And that was a big change. We've been talking about that for maybe a year and a half or 2 years or 2.5 years. And one of the hallmarks of Corey Connors, why he's so good, is he's a little bit, he's going to take his time to make big changes. He's not going to jump into them and start searching for unicorns or magic pixie dust here. We're going to be aware of things and take some time. So the change to crosshand, I think, is one of the big things that helped a new putter from Ping, a little bit more of a teeny bit of a mallet, but still blade look and feel, but a little bit more of a mallet. So we'll give Ping a little shout out there. Having his caddy, bringing him in, new caddy, practicing green reading every single day. So that as a team, I think has really made a nice difference. And I guess the last thing, there's a few other minor tweaks, but if you look at his routine, he's one of the fastest players on tour, both over the golf ball and everywhere. So we moved that to the putting green as well. Cause I remember watching him as an amateur, like I'd be just still getting the number or something like that, and the ball would be in the air. He's so fast. And I love that about him because he's quick and committed. And so we moved that into the putting green. His routine is one of the fastest out there as well. And, he's worked hard. Again, all that makes a bit of a difference, but he's worked really, really hard at some of the changes we've talked about.
You know, it's funny you say that because that was, I had that on my notebook here, was that's the other thing that I noticed is that he looks like he's really much quicker now and decisive too when he's putting. You could really see it this week at RBC. There was a couple of times they were talking and they almost like talked over the putt because he was already hitting it. It's great stuff. Is he aware that he's got to be excited, right? Like he's aware now, okay, my putting now, I'm going to win. I mean, number one, I know I belong. Number two, I know I'm one of the best ball strikers in the world. And now I'm becoming a top shelf putter. Like he knows in his head, right? Like this is his best golf's ahead.
Yeah, I think he's really feeling that. He is the most, humble guy you're going to find out there. Super laid back, real, but he's getting more and more comfortable being on the PGA Tour at the top of the leaderboard, playing with the best players, and more comfortable with this game, the golf courses. So yeah, he likes, I guess the best way of putting it might be he loves his chances. I think he also likes his chances in the big events, Travis, like the World Golf Championships and the majors. I think he feels like, hey, I'm a major winner one day. And he's still a young man, but I think he feels like, hey, I believe I'm going to win some of those big events as well.
I think it's fair to say he's a late bloomer. He could be a bit of a late bloomer, right?
It's just who he's been. He takes a little time, feels things out. And over that time, he's taking it in, building an awareness, learning, and then he gets comfortable and then boom, he plays great. And then, and that's happened as a junior, that's happened as a college and an amateur player. And now it's happening as a professional.
Talk to me about a short game. What do you think his strength is and what would you like to see? Where do you feel like his greatest opportunity for improvement is when it comes to shots around the green?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, first of all, to go back to your earlier point, we've built a game around being one of the best drivers and best iron players that he can be. We're trying to be a great version of him. And when he does that, he's a great driver and hardly ever misses the fairway and is long enough. And he's a tremendous iron player and almost very rarely misses green. So one of the things is, now that we're trying to improve the short game and the putting, take a little tighter lines on some of those iron shots. Because he, in the past, he'd say, I hit that exactly where I wanted to. And I'm like, well, that's 21 feet right of the flag. Yep, that's exactly where I was aiming. I'm like, can we move that to 15 feet or to 12 feet when you're on from the you know, no wind from the middle of the fairway. Can we get a little tighter on that? And I'd say that was one of the reasons why he was able to win a couple of years ago in Valero, and one of the reasons he's playing greater now. But when we make a mistake, we want to be able to get them up and down, or have chances to get them up and down. And so we have worked hard in the short game, getting the face a little bit more open in the backswing, you know, quieting the hands and wrists out a little bit, and having a better turn back and through. Mm-hmm. Some things we've worked on, you know, and being great at the 75% shot, Travis. Like I, with your students, I wanted to be good at the basic shot you're getting 75% of the time. We want to get those up and down all the time. And then we'll start adding some crazy circus shots to the game. And I'm pushing him there to try some of those as well in practice. But you're not going to pull those out unless you do them a lot in practice. And on the golf course. But in Corey's case, he takes the club back a teeny bit shut. And that's one of the things that makes him a great ball striker. He gets mm-hmm. a little bit bowed. And, you know, so I'm careful to work too much of that out in his short game and make him a nice short game player and a terrible ball striker. We're not going there. So we're just trying to get a little bit better in each area. And certainly we know he is a very good bunker player. If you get in there and watch him practice and play, the sound he makes is fantastic. I know his stats particularly don't indicate that, but we're very confident there. And he's getting better around the greens as well by adding some variety and touching up some technique.
Yeah, he had some great bunker shots in Hilton Head. Some really classy bunker shots. Not easy ones either.
And yeah, same at Augusta as well. He hit some beautiful ones. So
tell us something we don't know about Corey. I mean, he seems like he sounds like a kind of a quiet guy. He's humble, appreciative. He looks like very polite to me. And I say this because I've never met Corey. Yeah. And what you said about, you know, he kind of takes it in and then he lets it, you know, kind of almost marinate a little bit. And then he kind of goes with it. Right. So he kind of takes him a little bit more time, the acceptance of it, perhaps. Right. Is he stubborn in some regards when it comes to that? Tell us something that we don't know about him.
Well, I'll use the word smart, or really aware, but you know, he's not changing things for the sake of changing things. He's not blowing stuff up quickly. He's slow and plots his way along, and he's super smart about things. And he has to think about them. And they got to make sense to him before he's going to do stuff. And I would say that's, again, the hallmark of a guy who's going to be a top player for a long, long time. I mean, you know, some of the simple, he loves sports, loves hockey, you know, Maple Leafs are his team, but he just loves hockey. So every evening you can be sure he's opening up his laptop and watching an NHL game on TV to, you know, so if he's got those late tea times, you know, he's going to try and stay up a little later and watch some hockey.
That's awesome.
So love sport in general. Super competitive, Travis. Like, this guy is ultra competitive, even though he's quiet and kind of calm. You know, get him on the Peloton, you get him on the pickleball court, you get him anywhere on the golf course. I mean, he is ultra competitive and would really enjoy stepping on your throat. but I think that's typical of a lot of guys on tour. So, you know, he's not, there's not a ton of flash and dash to Corey Connors, but I think over the course of a year or two or a career, you're going to be pretty thankful for that.
So you worked with, let's talk about a couple other players here. So you worked with Mackenzie Hughes for many, many years. I know he's like a son to you.
Yeah, no, Max, you know, I consider him a great, great friend. He's like a younger brother or a son to me. I worked with him for 10 years. You know, he was on our junior team and on our national mm-hmm. team. He was on our amateur team and on our national amateur team. He was on our young pro squad like Corey, and then transitioned to the PGA Tour. And honestly, Travis, I didn't think I'd ever coach. You know, it wasn't my goal to coach players in the tour. Just when Mac got a PGA Tour card after he won the Korn Ferry Tour, he's like, I'd really like to coach me on the PGA Tour. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, that sounds kind of cool. And so that was a real, you know, real treat for me. And so we spent 3 or 4 years on tour there. And I love his game as well. He's probably, I would say, he's one of the best putters in the world. Man, mm-hmm. if you watch him putt, I just can't describe how nice it is to watch that man mm-hmm. roll the ball. And he's got a great short game. And he's actually somebody who's gained a lot of distance, you know, with the Bryson and the Dylan Fratelli and some of the guys who are really trying to pound it. You know, Matt's got a lot in the bag as well, and I like his game a ton.
Now, there's another young guy you work with who is second on the Korn Ferry Tour right now, 21st at the U.S. Open, Taylor Pendrith. He's got some big upside here as well. He's coming on.
Yeah, Taylor's a guy who will almost 100% be in the PGA Tour next year with his spot in the Korn Ferry Tour order of merit. And, you know, it's been a long journey for Taylor, worked with him for a long time. All three guys, incidentally, are Kent State guys, which is incredible. So they really did a nice job. Herb Page and the Kent State guys, John Mills is there now. They've done a really nice job of developing players, making it tough for them, not making it easy for them. And our national team's done the same, really trying to push them and challenge them and get them out of their comfort zone. And Taylor's got an unreal game. I think people on tour are going to love him. He's extremely long, to the point where, you know, I can say, you know, well, how far can you hit? And he's like, oh, well, how far do you want me to hit it? You know, he's wiry and fast. And, you know, I've been on the range with him where he's got 187 mile an hour ball speed. And, you know, and I'm like, well, can you go more than that? And he's like, oh yeah, for sure. I can go more than that. And, wow. So, but he's also around the greens. He's got an unreal set of hands. So fantastic short game. So being super long, really straight, and having nice hands around the green is a great combo. And
yeah,
no one really knows about him, but people are going to know about him in the next year, two or three.
That's awesome. Look forward to seeing him. So what's next here? We've got Corey, as we look to the schedule here, he's not playing this week in New Orleans, but nope. What's next for him as we kind of work up to the PGA Championship?
Yeah, well, he's got still question mark on Valspar, which is after New Orleans. And I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know the week after that, is that?
Quail Hollow. Yep. Wells Fargo.
You're going to play Quail. And he's gearing towards Kiowa and the PGA. That's a hugely important event to him. And he's got, you know, he's at the point in his career now, he's earned the ability to focus on the World Golf Championships and majors and some of the invitationals and play in the big, big events and try and win those. So that's how he's building a schedule.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. You've done a great job with him. I look forward to seeing Taylor and his growth as he works himself out to the PGA Tour. And if I happen to get to a tournament and you're there, I'll text you. Love to meet you in person. And big fan of your work. Big fan of Corey. Tell him that the president of his fan club is watching, and he's very proud of him.
Awesome. No, yeah, looking forward to meeting you in person. Travis, I've been a fan of yours as well for a long time. So thanks so much for having me on, Doug.
You bet. Derek Ingram, coach for the Canadian for the Canadian team, and coach to Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrip, thank you for joining us here on the Stripe Show podcast. See you next time.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter-weighted designs, use of high-density particles, and even a nano-transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suite of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/TravisFulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.